Bible is not a book to read and simply look back at the life and work of Jesus and the teaching of the prophets and apostles as a history lesson. Certainly there is history in the Bible. But it also isn't even a book to read and say, all right, I see the laws and the path which Jesus set down. This is the way to live. Though certainly we do see that and are called to live in the way that Jesus taught us. But even above these things, most of all, we're called to read the Bible because it's a means to grow in relationship with God. Because these aren't just words written centuries ago, but they speak to us today in our own lives. Because the Word of God, the second person of the Trinity, is alive. The Word of God is living and effective. Second reading today from the first letter of St. Peter speaks very well into what we might be experiencing right now. Peter says to us, "Always be ready to give an explanation to anyone who asks for a reason for your hope. But do it with gentleness, reverence, keeping your conscience clear, so that when you are maligned, those who defame your good conduct in Christ may themselves be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that be the will of God, than for doing evil." So the first part of this, what is the reason for our hope? When others ask us about this, when they see what's happening in the world, and they say, why do you believe in God? Do we talk to them about how Jesus came to save us, not from suffering now, but rather to free us from the slavery of sin? Do we talk about how this life is a pilgrimage, and that carrying our cross and being obedient to the voice of God through the church is the path to our ultimate home, our ultimate goal, heaven? Do we talk about that we're called to live in a way that it leads to holiness? We're called to that. We're made for that. And that by God's grace, we can indeed achieve that life of becoming a saint. And it isn't a boring life, but it's a life filled with joy, even in the midst of suffering, because we know the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe we do talk about those things. But I think even more in this time right now, even though we may have people asking those questions when they see suffering, how can you believe in God? I think it might be a question that we need to answer to ourselves. What's the reason for our hope? Perhaps we need to answer this question for ourselves because of all the shutdowns that are happening, the staying at home and no public masses. When we're experiencing these things right now, it can be very easy to focus on blaming others for the situation. It can be very easy to focus on bashing bishops for the decisions they make, and to be upset with priests for being obedient to those decisions. But perhaps if we step back, we can see that if that's what we're doing, maybe we're missing out. Maybe we're missing out on a cross that the Lord is offering to us for our sanctification. Obedience to what we are asked to do by our bishops, provided that is not sinful and then obedience isn't called for in that case anyway, obedience to our bishops will only conform us closer to Christ, who is obedient to the point of death, death on a cross. Well, okay, Father, but what about communion? Certainly, it's a huge sacrifice. It's painful. It's painful not to be able to receive our Lord, to worship Him here publicly in Mass, and to receive Him in Holy Communion. But perhaps this huge sacrifice is again an opportunity from the Lord. An opportunity to offer it, offer that sacrifice, offer that pain in reparation. In reparation for ourselves, if we ourselves have ever received the Lord unworthily in the sacrament, as well as for anyone else who has that maybe isn't even thinking about that. Offer it, our pain, to the Lord. Our pain of not receiving Him in the Eucharist is reparation for abuses against the Eucharist. The Lord will never allow suffering, never allow horrible circumstances, never allow pain without an opportunity for something good or an opportunity for us to grow in holiness and to give something back. Yet, we might rightly ask as Christians and as Americans, don't we have the right to worship, not only given to us by our government and the Constitution, but also a God-given right simply because God created us? And the answer is, yeah, we do. We do have that right. The bishops have been doing their very best, and that's important to remember, doing their best to keep people safe while looking for ways to reopen public masses. Remember, as we heard from our letter from our diocesan administrator, Father Jim, about this, and I'd like to read a portion, about half of his letter to us now, just to remind us and help us get out of a situation of blaming and try to look and see what's really going on. This letter, which went out in group email and is on our website, I read a part to you now. In a letter dated May 1st, I communicated with you that the bishops of Minnesota decided together to ask our parishes to plan and prepare for the opening of public masses on May 18th based on the possible expiration of Governor Walz's stay-at-home order. At the same time, the bishops proactively engaged public officials about the importance of some limited opening of our churches for public mass. A plan to resume public masses May 18th in a limited manner and only in places where parishes were willing and ready to follow a prescribed set of safety and sanitization protocols was submitted May 8th to the governor for feedback. Four Lutheran denominations joined our letter to Governor Walz as well. To our disappointment, the governor and his administration declined to engage in dialogue with us and our proposal. While easing the stay-at-home order on May 13th, the governor's executive order explicitly prohibited faith-based gatherings with more than 10 unrelated people. Governor Walz has called a meeting of faith-based leaders on May 18th to solicit feedback for a new set of public worship guidelines that his administration will be producing for churches and other houses of worship. The date of reopening for religious gatherings of more than 10 people, however, is still uncertain. It is important for you, the Catholic faithful and the clergy, to know that the Catholic bishops of Minnesota are united in their conviction that the decision of when to resume public masses is ultimately ours and not subject to the directives from the governor or other public officials. Just as we dispensed with Sunday obligation and suspended Sunday masses voluntarily before any executive orders were issued, the decision to gather again belongs to us alone. Our decision will be guided by three principles. One, love of neighbor and concern for the common good, including the health and well-being of our neighbors. Two, respect for public authorities and their directives and health and well-being for our neighbors. Respect for public authorities and directives and guidance. And three, the rights of the faithful to the sacraments and the duty of worship we owe God. The faithful, we can expect that we will weigh these considerations carefully as part of the common responsibility for the state and to the state, and that we will zealously protect our liberties to assemble and worship freely. So it's not as though the bishops feel they are absolutely trapped by what the government is saying. Again, the bishops, along with our diocesan administrator, Father Jim, have said all along, we need to take a look at the common good and the safety of what's happening. We need to come up with principles that are safe for reopening. And I believe they have. As I said in my email to all of our parishioners, we received a 7-page document on how we can reopen our churches for public masses again in some restricted way, not fully open, but the bishops are looking to these things. So I'm grateful to Father Jim and the bishops that they have put together safe protocols, that they have made decisions for our safety, and that they have made clear that they, and not the government, will make it clear when public masses can resume in more than 10 people at a time. 10-person masses are not really possible at this time for our parishes, since we have so many parishioners and many people who want to join and want to be here for Mass. But we might ask, well, Father, why don't we just open right now? If the bishops have this idea, let's just do it. Well, back to what St. Peter says to us in the second reading today. When we give a reason for our hope, we need to do so with gentleness and reverence, keeping our conscience clear, so that when we are maligned, those who defame us, our good conduct in Christ, may they themselves be put to shame. It's better to suffer for good than for doing evil. In other words, we as Catholic Christians want to be good citizens as well, and that's why we're engaging in this dialogue with the government. But ultimately, it is our bishop's choice for when to reopen masses. So please, I ask as I end this homily to please pray for Father Jim, please pray for the bishops, please pray for our government as they meet with Governor Waltz this coming Monday and Tuesday, that we can come up with a plan that is safe, a plan that allows people to come back to public masses to worship our Lord, and that we can do all of this in the name of the common good.